Okay, today we're talking about Christmas. We are in the Christmas series, and it's the 10th of December. It's on here. We're talking about Christmas. The first Christmas, we've got our title up there, I think. The first Christmas, the world received the best gift of all, the gift of a Savior, Jesus Christ. This was a most needed gift. We so needed saving from our sins. Tell the person next to you, especially you, especially you. Oh, yes, I know you. It's really especially me, that's what it is. At Christmas, God revealed himself to us by coming down to earth in human form as a baby. God came seeking us. He gave us Jesus so we could be in right relationship with God, so now we in turn can seek him. And we're going to look at some people who did just that today. And we're in Luke 2 in the Christmas story. I'm going to read to you. Luke 2, I'm going to read till verse 20. I'm in the NIV. Are you ready? Here we go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And when I read that, I think of the movie Nativity. Who's seen that movie, which came out over 10 years ago, maybe more? It's like the Bible on DVD. I really encourage you to get it out. There's still video stores around. There's one on Cameron Road to watch at this time of year, if it's not on Netflix or anything like that, because it really is a fantastic portrayal of this story. Also, go along to Road to Bethlehem, which is at the Adventist School. Our own Laurie's in it. He's Joseph, maybe some of our other people. And that is a fantastic story to watch, especially if you've got kids, and it brings it all alive. So we have the Christmas story. And today we're going to focus on the shepherds, which is short for sheep herders, shepherds, uneducated guys, rural guys who lived out the back of the farm. And they were just having a normal day at work. They were just doing their job, looking after the sheep, when they had a supernatural experience. And an angel spoke to them. Now, these shepherds wanted to be part of what God was doing. We can see that from their response. They had hearts after God. They actually had an opportunity to be a part of a significant thing right now, right here, that God was doing on the earth. They didn't know it, but they had just stepped into a God-ordained moment in time. They were in the right place at the right time. And this word time is in this chapter a couple of times. Verse 1, in some versions it says, at that time. NIV says, in that day. At that time, there was a census in verse 1. Verse 6, the time came for her baby to be born. They were in the right place at the right time. Verse 11, the Messiah has been born today. These shepherds had just walked into a today moment with God, a today moment in human history. And we are reading about them right now in our Bible because they responded. Right then, they had a choice. Would they act on what they had just heard about a Messiah, about Jesus, or would they just ignore it? They were probably tired. They'd been up all night, probably fighting off lions and bears who were trying to eat their little lambs. But they chose to respond to the message of Jesus. And because they responded to the message of Jesus, we are talking about them right now, 2,000 years later, across the other side of the world, because they made it to the pages of the Bible. Because they had a desire to seek out Jesus. These guys could have missed their moment, their God-appointed time, but instead they recognized it and went after it. And they made seeking Jesus their top priority. They dropped everything, left their work and their tasks, and hurried to find Jesus. The NIV says they hurried. The Living Bible says they ran. The King James says they made haste. The Greek word is spudo, not speedos. That's bad. Spudo, to hurry, to do quickly, be eager, and cause to happen soon. So that's what they did. They were all over it straight away. Like the shepherds, God has an appointed time for you and me. An appointed time for us to seek after him and encounter him. And I only have one point, and that is number one. I don't know why I've numbered it, because there's only one. It's time to seek Jesus. It is time to seek Jesus. That time for us is now. What are we going to do with this great gospel that has been entrusted to us? What are we going to do with this news about Jesus that we have heard about? He's come down from heaven to seek us. What about us? What are we going to do? Are we going to seek him? Or are we going to do nothing? Our time is now, and I'm here today to tell you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. When we hear about Jesus, it requires action from us. What are we going to do? Are we going to seek him or not? These guys, these shepherds, got to see the Savior of the world with their own eyes. And if we keep seeking after the Lord, one day we will see him too in heaven. These guys, these shepherds, had an encounter with Jesus because they went after him with urgency. They did not receive the divine news of God's arrival on earth with apathy. They could have done so. They could have heard what the angel said and then said, oh yeah, whatever, and gone back to playing games on their phones. They could have just lain back on their hay bales to ponder the news of Jesus with indifference and inaction. They could have just thought about it. They could have just paid some intellectual homage to it. Yes, I see. They could have just given some mental assent to it with a nod of agreement. They could have just given some cerebral approval and said, yes, amen. But they did more than that. They got up and they moved. They got up and they did something. They made a move toward Jesus. They shifted position from where they were to go out and seek him, and they didn't stop until they found him. And their lives changed and they were marked forever. They were never the same again. When we hear about Jesus, it is not enough for us to say, yes, yes, I agree, amen. I believe we actually have to do something. We actually need to get up and go after him. We need to shift from our current position and move toward him. And we need to keep doing this. We can't ever settle. We can't ever stop. Now, our human nature is to settle down, to stay in a comfort zone, just to relax, to chill. And that is the same as our New Zealand culture as well. But we need to be seeking him every day. Get up, go out and seek him out. Seek him every morning before work, before school, before uni. In prayer, seek him in the word of God every day. Seek him in his house here with his people every week. Like the shepherds, we too need to get off the couch and do something. Tell the person next to you, we need to do something. That's right. It's not enough to just acquiesce with words. There must be action. Our lives must change. When we get up and go and seek after Jesus and not stop until we find him, then our lives will change and we will be marked forever and we will never be the same again. Do you know, these shepherds made a decision to seek him immediately, and today we know about it and we're glad they did. Here's a quote from someone anonymous. Big doors hang on small hinges. Big doors hang on small hinges. And what I get out of that is that big doors open up for us in the spirit realm as we make small decisions to seek the Lord first before anything else. See, every choice we make has a repercussion. The choices you've made in your past have led you to where you are now. The choices I made as a young person have led me to where I am now. I could have kept on my merry way, drinking every day, getting smashed at the weekends, and I would not be in this place today talking to you. I'd be hungover somewhere, vomiting probably. That's what I used to do on Sunday mornings. With my Disprin already dissolved in the glass before I went out that night because I knew I'd need them the next morning. But now I've met Jesus, and that decision to follow him has changed my destiny. The decisions we make in our youth, the decisions we make every day will change our destiny. Big doors hang on small hinges. I know by God's grace, the decisions I made as a young Christian, not only to give my heart to him, but also to seek him, have opened big doors in the spirit in my life. By God's grace, when I was 19, the first whole year I was a Christian, 1989, he asked me to fast a day a week, and so I did. I look back now and think, how did I do that? And I was biking to uni every day, and I was just like this skinny little 50-something kilos person. And I think, how did I do that? Would have blown away in a strong wind. But anyway, God sustained me. And you know, I look back now and I think, that was actually laying a foundation for my whole Christian walk. And then he asked me in 97 to work voluntary at church 2 days a week. I'd never done that before. And we were leading the youth and to help with the youth and just to serve. And we didn't have any youth staff then, and just to come up here and serve. And I know because of those two things that God asked me to do, and by his grace he enabled me to do them, I know those two things have opened doors for me in the spirit realm. And I actually had someone come and prophesy and say, at the start of 97, the decision you have made in this year, and this person didn't know the decision I'd made, the decision you've made this year is opening you've opened a small door in the natural, but it's on the same hinge as in heaven, and a huge door has swung open in heaven in the spirit over your life. And that person did not know the decision I'd made, which was to come up to church and volunteer 2 days a week. But I know that decision has opened huge doors in the spirit because of sacrifices and decisions I made to seek him. The decisions we make to seek the Lord, whatever it is, whether anyone else ever sees about it or knows about it or not, will open big doors for you in the spirit. And I'm convinced that God would not have entrusted me with a leadership position in this church if I hadn't made some of the decisions I made back then to seek him. As we make a decision every day to open this book, to seek the Lord in prayer, and to get into his presence and worship, to come to church and worship him corporately, he will allow those big doors for your life to swing open. There's people here today and you're believing God for big doors. Remember, the same hinge that they are on is the one with the small decisions, with the small doors. As we make small decisions to seek him and steps toward him, he will open those big doors at the right time. It's interesting to note here that the angels were not sent to tell the religious people of the day about this good news of Jesus. You'd think that God would tell the spiritual people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the priests. I'm just going to call them the priests because it's too long to say all of those, okay? But I'm meaning all of those religious people. God completely bypassed them. God sent angels to reveal the news to shepherds. They were at the bottom of the food chain, man. They were uneducated, rural, simple shepherds. But guess what? God likes shepherds because he is one. John 10, verse 11 and 14, Jesus said twice in that chapter, I am the good shepherd. He has a shepherd's heart, and he wants you and me to have a shepherd's heart also. A heart for the sheep, including all the lost ones who are still hungover right now from their work due last night. A heart for the sheep. The Lord bypassed the knowledgeable and learned priests and Pharisees, and he went for the guys with the big shepherd hearts. That's who he picked. And today he is still looking for people with big shepherd hearts. Like it says, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The state of our hearts is very important. We can never underestimate the importance of looking after our heart. The state of our heart is significant to God. We cannot have a relationship with the Lord only in our minds. It has to be in our hearts. How's the state of your heart today? We can try and put on a spiritual show for others to see, but the Lord sees our hearts. We can't hide from Him. We are stewards of our own hearts. I'm not talking about your blood pump. I'm talking about your spirit. It is our responsibility to keep our heart right toward God, to keep our hearts soft before God, because the state of our heart matters. And the shepherd's rapid response to the Lord's news via the angels of Jesus shows the healthy spiritual state of their hearts. Straight away, they ran to seek Jesus. They made him their top priority, more than their work, more than their tasks, more than even their families or hobbies. They went running after Jesus. It cost them in time. Maybe they even had to employ someone else to watch your sheep in a hurry. The shepherds chose to do whatever it took to seek out Jesus. But the religious people, the priests and all of those guys ignored Jesus. I believe here the priests represent dead religion. Jerusalem was the capital city of the Jews, the people of God. But the priests were so, and all those guys were so engrossed in their religion, their rules, their temple rituals, and their legal discussions that they totally disregarded Jesus. He meant nothing to them. Now, these priests were experts in the scriptures, yet they didn't even go to seek him out. They knew the scriptures. They pointed others to the scriptures that spoke of the coming Messiah, but they would not even seek him out themselves. Now, Bethlehem, I've had the privilege of going there, Alan and I, 21 years ago. Bethlehem is just down the road from Jerusalem. The priests lived only 7 miles away from where God's son was born, yet they wouldn't even go and see him. Maybe their hospital car parking's like ours and they just sort of haven't got a snowball's hope in hell of getting a car park. The donkey will have to, it'll run away. I don't know. They didn't go. This is a bizarre situation. If you read Luke's account, you can really catch the irony here. The shepherds proclaimed Jesus as Savior. Wise men came and worshipped him by giving him gifts. Simeon and Anna prophesied over him in the temple. But the religious people missed him. We have to watch that we are not just being religious. We, the people of God, have to watch that we don't miss out on him. We, the people of God, must be seeking after him with a hungry, big shepherd's heart every day. These religious people missed him. They didn't even notice him. Why not? They were too busy. This is sounding uncomfortably familiar, perhaps a bit like us today. The priests weren't looking for Jesus or for his arrival. They were the religious guys, but they weren't seeking Jesus with the urgency that these uneducated shepherds were. You know, the learned priests thought they already knew all about God. They thought they had a monopoly on the Lord. These guys are spiritual. They knew their stuff. They knew what they were doing. So the Lord had to find some people who didn't know what they were doing. People who were not reliant on this, on their own knowledge. People who had to rely on God. And today the Lord is still looking for people who don't already know it all, who really don't know what they're doing, who are not relying on this, but who are willing to be taught by him. God still has to try and find some people who don't know what they're doing, who don't already know it all. People who just have hungry, big shepherd's hearts, hungry hearts to seek the Father. Today, it is so easy to become so interested in our own affairs that slowly and gradually, like these religious people, like these priests, Jesus can actually come to mean nothing to us. Oh, we say that he does, but we vote with our feet when we sleep in and don't come to church. We vote with our feet when we reach for our phone and our games before we reach for this. We vote with our hands and our feet. Do we actually sacrifice any time to seek him? Do we even bother? Do you know, 30 years on from the birth of Christ, Jesus rebuked some more religious people for not seeking after God. He told them, hey, unbelievers are going to get into the kingdom before you guys if you're not careful. He's saying, unbelievers are going to beat you. And they're like, oh, no, no, it's our right. We deserve it. We're so spiritual. We've been assemblies of God for three generations, don't you know? We see Jesus in Matthew 21, 31, telling the priests and the elders that the tax collectors, the guys who run the pub down the road, prostitutes, are going to enter the kingdom of God ahead of you spiritual people. This is a warning we need to heed as well. We need to ensure today that we, the people of God, always have a hunger for God and continually seek after him. We don't want to miss what God is doing and be so caught up in our own little worlds that others beat us into the kingdom and we ourselves miss out. Let's not ever be so busy and so distracted that we lose sight of the most important thing, seeking Jesus. He is more important than our work, our money, our house, our car, our phones, our boat, our holidays, and our friends and what they think of us. He is everything. And the Bible talks a lot about seeking the Lord. Seeking God starts with a decision. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. In the New Testament, Jesus also told us a couple of times to seek God. Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you first. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, seek and you will find. We can't only be believers up here. We've got to be seekers after Jesus. People who actually get up and do something. Seeking God is not a feeling. It is an action. We actually have to do something. Now, this Christmas holiday, who's going away? Anyone? Who's going camping? Yep. Who's going to somewhere else and leaving home for a week or two or more? Okay, lots of people. Some people are staying here. That's nice too. We want you to have a rest. We want you to have a break. But don't, on your holiday, don't have a holiday from God. Let's not only use our time for ourselves and sleep and eating and some new entertainment and watching another new movie and the latest DVD and gaming craze. Let's use this time to seek God as well. It's a gift, this extra time. I'm talking about seeking him. I'm talking about getting alone with him, just you and him, in prayer, in worship. If you're by the beach or camping, why don't you get up and walk alone on the beach with Jesus when you first get up in the morning? For 15 minutes, for half an hour. If you're at home, give him that first part of your day and listen for his voice and write down what he says. Why don't you leave your Bible right beside your bed so when you wake up in the morning, you can reach for it and have a read. Before you reach for your phone and the negative news of the world pops up in your face, if you have a smartphone, and clutters your mind. It tries to put fear in your spirit. It tries to clutter your spirit and invade your spirit. Let the word of God be the first thing that hits your mind every day. He brings peace. He gives us confidence. The presence of God comes as you put on worship on your phone or on your stereo, and as you start to sing to him, as you start to worship him and seek him. It's a beautiful thing when you seek the Lord first. When you seek him first in your life, he will honor you. He will honor you when he speaks to you and you underline it in your Bible, you write it down in your journal. Every summer holiday, I seek the Lord for that new year about what God wants me to do in that new year. Is there anything different, Lord, to last year? Is there anything you want me to stop doing? Is there anything new you want me to start doing? Is there anyone new I need to be investing into and meeting with? I don't just want to do the same old. I don't just want to do a good thing. I want to be doing exactly what he wants me to be doing for this time. But I need to seek him to hear that. He doesn't send me an email. I have to stop and listen and wait. This Christmas, decide. Decide to be, like the shepherds, a seeker of God. Let's decide to be a daily seeker of God. You might be thinking, well, I'm just not that spiritual. Eleanor, I'm just not into prayer and all of that. That's just not me. Well, the good news is you can change. You can become a man who seeks after God. You can become a woman who seeks after God. Right now, you can say, I am a seeker of God. Why don't you say that with me? I am a seeker of God. Amen. That's right. The Lord is looking for seekers, not the band from the 70s, the real seekers of God. My parents used to have the album. Let's be people who not only believe in Him, but seek after Him. Not just at Christmas time and when we have spare time over our summer holiday, but for all of 2018 and beyond daily. When we seek God, we are positioning ourselves for an encounter with Him. If we want Him, then we've got to go after Him. We just need to get alone with God and cry out to Him. Many of us want the encounter with Him, but we're not prepared to first seek Him in action and in prayer. Do you know there is a process here that we see in this chapter we just read out that the shepherds did? Seek Jesus. Then you encounter Jesus, then you're changed by Jesus, and then you tell people about Jesus. So we seek Him, we have an encounter with Him, we are changed by Him, we tell others about Him. This is the chain of events. This is the process that happens. These shepherds had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. They were changed and impacted by it, and then they told everyone they met about Him. They were changed, and then they talked about Him publicly. They were not ashamed of Jesus. They were not closet seekers. Everyone could tell they were seekers of Jesus and that they found Him too. Everyone in your office at work, on your building site, in your class at school should know that you are a seeker of Jesus. God does not need any secret squirrel Christians. He doesn't know what to do with them. They're of no earthly use to Him. Everyone in our world should know that we are seekers of Jesus. This is not a closet deal here. The psalm says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then say so. We've got to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus told us if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. But if we're proud of Him and tell others about Him, He's going to be proud of us and acknowledge us publicly in front of all the thousands of angels and people in heaven. And that's what we want, isn't it? Oh yeah. Seeking the Lord will always cost us something, usually time and money. Let's ask ourselves a question here today. What do I spend most of my time and my money on? Ask yourself that question right now. Because that is the thing we are seeking after. That is the thing we are worshiping. Is it the Lord and His house and His work and others? Or is it our toys, our travel, our gadgets, our houses, ourselves, our clothes? Like these shepherds here, we need to make it our highest priority to seek God. It wasn't convenient for these shepherds to go. They had stuff to do. They had sheep to protect and look after. But they heard about Jesus and they had to make a split-second decision right there. They said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go right now. Would they follow God's message spoken through the angels or wouldn't they? The reality is it's not convenient for us either to seek God often. It's often not convenient to surrender all to Him when we actually have made our own plans. It's not convenient to read the Bible when we have other books we're wanting to read or other movies we're wanting to watch. It's not convenient to spend time in prayer and worship when we'd rather be gaming or watching YouTube. It's not convenient to go to church when we could be at the beach or asleep in bed. It's just not convenient to be a Christian sometimes. But it is so worth it. The benefits are eternal. And we get to know God Almighty on a first name basis, Jesus. And when we come to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, we have to make a decision. Will we seek Him or not? And every day, even if you've been a Christian for 30 years, every day when you wake up in the morning, you make a decision. Will I seek Him or not? What will I do with this gift of 24 hours I've just been given by God? And we vote with our hands and our feet whether we're seeking Him or not. These shepherds were in the right place at the right time, and they went after Jesus to seek him. Do you know, seekers of God know prophetically when the Lord is up to something and when it's a change of spiritual season. When we seek the Lord and hear his voice, we tune in and we'll know when God is moving and doing something new, and we will find ourselves right in the midst of it, in the right place at the right time to be used by God, just like these shepherds were. In verse 20, they went off glorifying and praising God. Those who seek Jesus will be glorifying and praising God. There is a supernatural joy that you can't get anywhere else. Seeking Jesus is compelling. It leads us into an encounter with him, which leads to us telling everyone of him. Who knows what's on the other side of us seeking God? I heard a story, and I've shared it before, you may have heard it, about a busload of young American high school students back in, I think it was the 30s, who went over to Britain on a summer trip and did a tour around a lot of the historic places. One of the houses they went into was John Wesley's house. John Wesley, that great man of God who led a massive revival and turned Britain right around and revolutionized it. And they said, this is John Wesley's kitchen, and this, and up the stairs, and this is John Wesley's bedroom. And look, here are two holes still in the mat. And that is where John Wesley prayed. He would get on his knees and he would cry out, God, move, God, save our nation, save Britain. That is where he prayed. And then they showed them around the rest of the house, and they got on the bus. Come on, we've got to go to the next place. They did a head count. Oh no, one of the students is missing. We have to go back in and find him. And a teacher went back in, and he was rushing around through all the rooms. And finally, he opened the door of the bedroom, and he saw a young guy on his knees with his two knees in the holes on the mat where John Wesley's knees used to be, saying, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again. And the teacher said, come on, Billy Graham, it's time to go. Get on the bus. And God did it again through him. All over this world, Billy Graham is still alive. He was one of the number one evangelists last century on our planet and took the gospel to so many places. But it started with him seeking God. It started with him crying out to God. It started with a heart that was after God, a big shepherd's heart. Today, the Lord is looking for seekers. We've got to be seekers of Jesus today, this Christmas, and in this coming year of 2018. Not just religious, like the priests who missed Jesus, but active seekers like these shepherds who found Jesus.